The following is an interview with 84-year-old Mrs. Jessie Sterling Campbell, which includes her early life in Bell County and her experiences on the Texas border before and after her marriage, and reminiscences of her brother, Ranger Bill Sterling, with some reference to and from his book, Trials and Trails of the Texas Rangers. This interview took place in Woodsboro, Texas, in October of 1972. And the interviewer is Mrs. Liz Meadows.
I was born in Belton, Bell County, Texas, on June 2nd, 1888. My parents were Edward Arthur Sterling and Mary Chamberlain Sterling. Mary Ludentia Chamberlain Sterling, that was a funny name. And my daddy was, at that time, he was station agent at the Santa Fe, and he also had a number of other interests there in Belton, and we lived out at the edge of town. We had 48 acres out there, and because my family had always done. We had lots of company, like that. And my mother and daddy and my aunt, Mrs. Montgomery, Mrs. Virginia Montgomery, that raised my mother, lived with us, and she had two children, Julia and Paul Montgomery, who also lived there and were raised there. And Daddy was interested in. He went to Temple. He resigned from the railroad, and went to Temple. He had a compress, and he was a partner in the water. Now how it's the city water anyway. Other interests, and we lived there. I don't know. When it was a Beaumont, I can't remember now. I've got things all around here that I could find out. When the Beaumont boom, when it struck oil in Beaumont, we went down to Beaumont. We don't need all this other. We did go someplace else first, but then I don't think it needs. And he went, and we stayed then. We went back to the old place at Belton. And we sold the house and temple and went back to Belton. And my mother and with children. Oh, well, you want something about the children, don't you? Mm-hmm. My brother Bill was next to me. He was two and a half years younger. And then my brother Ed was 5 years younger than I am. And then these two sisters I have, she was 5 years, Mary was 5 years younger than Ed, and Isabel was the baby of the family, and she was 5 years younger than Mary. Now, you didn't want the whole names, did you, the double names or anything like that? And, but anyway, we stayed there in, Isabel wasn't born then, but then we stayed in Belton till Daddy got settled in Beaumont. He was always an independent oil operator. Well, I believe, I don't know, they had an oil company there. And he made a very great deal of money there. And then went over to Sour Lake and also did. And then we moved to Jennings, Louisiana, and stayed through. That's where my sister Isabel was born. Then we moved to Houston. Mm-hmm. And of course, we stayed in Houston quite a long time. I don't know just how long, but mm-hmm. He was still interested in, in the oil business. And then we went up to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and stayed 3 years. But we came back to Houston, and he, of course, was still in the oil business. And then in 1913, this is where the ranch comes in. Mm-hmm. My father acquired an interest in the 24,000 acres of land in Hidalgo County. In the first, First Valley land boom, an attempt had been made to cut it up in farms. Now, I really think this ought to stay in here. I believe the idea was many years ahead of its time, and it was too high to irrigate up there, you know, from the canals, and too dry for farming. My father took over the management, and that's when they'll lease the pastures and everything, mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. Did you want that or not?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, were you
and
with
my
your
brother Bill and Ed, but mm-hmm. then, of course, Bill's older, you see. Mm-hmm. At least they, of course, they're all right there. I've lost it again. And leased the pastures, and Bill added 15,000 acres more and built up a good start of cattle. That was in 1915. They had this terrible drought down mm-hmm. there. I think all that could go in there. In the 1915 drought teamed up with the to be the harboring place of smugglers and cow thieves. Oh, even there's something else in front of it. He said he added 15,000 acres more and built up a good stall of cattle. Now, you've got that. The 1915 drought teamed up with the bandit war to give me a setback, give us a setback, you mm-hmm. should say, because it's a family. And
now, your whole family, your father included in there.
Was there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Daddy was the head of it, you know, mm-hmm. Bill. And Ed was at A&M, I believe, then. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it came down here. Setbacks. And Monte Cristo had been a, and this is this little town with a post office, you know, I told you that they. Mm-hmm.
This is the nearest
there.
Town to your ranch, is Monte Cristo.
Right through the middle, right in front of the yard. We had such a large yard. We had a beautiful yard. It had palms all in it. And, mm-hmm. and wait a minute now. Bandit War, us, I think you ought to say, a setback. Monte Cristo had been a noted harboring place for smugglers and cow thieves. Just before we got there, the rangers and custom inspectors had made a concerted drive on there. Now, I think that you can put in, well, you have to, I guess. At one time, they had 20 prisoners. Now, I didn't see that, but they did.
They had 20 prisoners, what?
And I think that's all right to put that. At one time, they had 20 prisoners chained to, I can't get this focused right, somebody. I've got this kind of a nose, anyway. Chained to mesquite trees near the ranch.
Didn't have to worry about a jail.
They had 20, oh, I said 20 trees. Many people advised my father to take his family out of there before they were all killed. To this warning, he simply replied, "We live here."
Well, now, did you have any bandits come to the house or anything after this time?
Oh, no, they didn't at that time, right then, mm-hmm.
But while you were living there.
They were right away. Well, I was going to tell you, Bill didn't put this in here, but this is in here. Oh, wait a minute now, let's see. No, well, of course, Bill, he said this, but then I don't know what to say. Don't put this on. No comprehensive account of the so-called bandit war that raged in Cameron and Hidalgo counties has ever been written. More than 40 years have elapsed since the termination of the interracial conflict, but to this day much of it has remained an unpublished mystery, and so on. Mm-hmm. What we did, I don't know if I can get it in there properly, when it started, we were always, people always stopped it. We had a phone, and the phone, my daddy left these other ranch people beyond us, mm-hmm. farther out, well, the east, and that was, Judge Wells, Jim Wells' ranch. Mm-hmm. And they had leased it, this East Brothers. And let me see. Mac Allen Ranch, the Young Ranch, and the East Ranch. And the Lane Ranch. There were four of them Daddy let put on it. And he kept a Mexican all the time, and it kept the, the
telephone line. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But it was our phone, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Daddy's always one of these generous kind.
Well, now, you were telling me the other day that the train came almost to your front door. Would you tell me about that?
Huh?
Would you tell me about that, about the train coming in with supplies?
Prior to the coming of the railroad in 1904, the lower valley of the Rio Grande was just practically all Mexican, all Latins lived there. And but after the railroad came, of course, it made a great difference. And we had this branch that went from Mission to this little post office in Monte Cristo, which was a mile from the ranch house.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need of that.
Well, now you said that you'd call. You said you'd call in for supplies.
Oh yes, wondered. It was most convenient because we had this phone, and we'd phone into the grocery store or the stores and have them put the whatever it was we wanted on the train, and they would bring it out and stop right in front of the ranch gate,
mm-hmm.
and we'd go out and get it. And not even have to go up to Monte Cristo.
Just front door delivery.
Yeah, space and all. Oh, yes, there were lots of nice things like that. Now, you got it.
Yeah.
All right, now what else?
Would you tell me how it was growing up on the ranch? You had your groceries delivered to the front door? And would you tell me some things that happened while you were on the ranch?
Oh, while we were on the... Oh, yes, I can tell you everything. He was really something.
All right, now you said you had lots of company out here at the ranch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, that's what I was telling you about, mm-hmm. That we always had company. We had never, and that's why Daddy put that up there. I think, I don't know, it was just a year or so before we left that he put that up there. That we had never, wasn't that long. I don't remember just exactly when first, but anyway, he put that.
Well, now, tell me the story again on the tape.
You said we always had company. Mm-hmm. And one thing that was so amusing that there were so many of these northern people that had come down here, mm-hmm. and we used to have people come there that we never had seen. Well, they... of course, came from up north, and they had always heard that that's where you did it, right? So they'd come in and stay for dinner or something or other like that. But that's what we had, so much company, and that's what Daddy did one day.
Tell me what your Daddy put on the wall.
Ed alone, for the first time. Whatever this date was, which I do know, I cannot remember. But we'd been there for many years, Ed alone.
And it was the first time.
The first time that we had ever Ed alone. We always had come. Well, now, is that ready to go? Or for 18 miles from us, all in different directions, but they were all north of us. Now that's in nowhere. I couldn't have done deal with that. The bandit trouble was in full swing when Dodge automobiles were first made. Now that's why he said this about it. And said we bought the first one in Hidalgo County.
Mm-hmm.
And then now here it starts. This bandit trouble was in full swing when they started out. We got a telephone message. I didn't get them the other day. We got a telephone message, and they just bought this car, you know, and bought it. This first one sold in the valley, and then Bill Fowler was driving it home. And and when Bill, my brother, arrived at home, my daddy came out and met Bill at the gate and said, "Hurry to the Mike Allen Ranch. A bunch of bandits have attacked this ranch house." And the fight is still going on. Several outlying ranches were on this telephone line, so they've got it. You see, and so 2 miles south of Mike Allen's ranch, the road forked, and another branch going to Arlington, to Sam Lane's, and Sam Lane called my dad in and said, "I'll get Bill and the boys to come as soon as possible. I saw the bandits going to San Juanita," that is it, McAllen Ranch. And said, "The student shooting has started," says, "I'm heading for the rock." I don't blame him though. Says, "I'm heading for the rock quarry on this place." And said, "Bill, listen. He was an old frontiersman, and from his natural port, killed a whole bunch of bandits, you know."
Yeah.
A troop of bandits, Bill. And then they went on out there. And, Captain Ransom was one of the ranger captains, and he went with his men and two of his rangers, and they were just starting 18 miles to the ranch when they arrived there, mm-hmm. and said, directly in front of the house, and I saw what happened, a bandit and his horse lay dead. Mr. McCann was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then another man, a dead man, was found near the rock outbuilding, and Mr. McAllen was gone, and the only person on the place was this Mexican woman who had she had come up from Mexico, you know, because of all that fighting they were doing down there, and she was a housekeeper up there. And I like to say they lived in Brownsville. They had a beautiful house there, but they of course went out there. This McAllen Ranch had over 100,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And said he started to stomp the dead all out. And I said the main ranch house had many bullet holes in it. I saw all that too. And I says, true to the Mexicans, they shot high. They always did. It was a perfect joke. Way up the and a battle that they had down in Torreon, I believe it was. The water tank. You know, Torreon's a big place.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd shot it full of holes, that's what happened. And then they'd take all the ground and the holes.
And,
he came down to help, and this Mexican woman came. And then they took her on down to Brownsville, to the house. But she was the one that really... Mm-hmm. Oh, she backed him up. She stand there and load the guns for him, kill him, as she's saying. If only she was just marvelous.
Huh.
And she was really, she was a high-class Mexican. They could come up from the, you know, see they were having all that trouble down there. They were having that war down there, you know, the cow and sisters. And she had fought him, you know. Must have been lots of nerves on him. And...
Well, now, how did this affect you all at your ranch?
Huh?
How did this trouble over at the McAllen Ranch affect you at your ranch?
Not all on them. So many of them, so many people came there. See, mm-hmm. they cut our fences, but they were way to the north. They were 4 or 5 miles. They never did come near. They knew we had all of these, this platoon of soldiers, and three Signal Corps men and two rangers.
We're staying at your ranch.
Stayed on the ranch, and the soldier, infantryman walked sentry in the yard every night. I told you that's the time they
thought. Now tell me that story again.
Well, the thing is, that was, I don't remember this before or after that. Mm-hmm. We had them out there for months. Mm-hmm. In fact, they stayed until, of course, they were stationed, the regulars were, you know, mm-hmm. till the war was declared in April. They were still down. And we had them out there, and for the longest time I was in the trouble. And that's what I said to them, you know, we walked. I to describe this lane, you know, that our yard, oh, this great big yard, on the other side was this abdomen of pool, you know, and there was water, the tank to irrigate with in this pump house. Mm-hmm. That we didn't use it. And, but the wall was out of there. But that's the way it was, like this, and the Mexican houses were down this lane. Mm-hmm. And they went on up to the, we had a 250 acres right around the house that they would farm. And this sentry was walking in the yard. And one of these Mexicans from this Mexican house, I don't know, he thought he saw a coyote or something. That's what he said. Oh, he went out of entry. And this 28th infantryman thought he saw this light, you know, and he thought the bandits were going to attack us. And now he came up, then he came running up in the yard again, you know, and said, "Oh, Mr. Sterling, I'm there, oh, I don't know which one he called." And he said, "Oh, the bandits are coming. This was all clear and had a wonderful farmland. Mm-hmm. There's 250 acres in it. And then right back of that was all the brush. You see? And they're coming, he thought they're coming through the brush. You know, down in this lane. But this Mexican, anyway, I don't know, I can't remember what he thought it was, but something. And he had lit this fire and everything. Mm-hmm. And so my mother and I, you see, we were asleep there. And because we woke up, we heard him come and heard what it said. And my mother said, "Well, I guess we're going to be attacked." And I said, "Yes, I guess so." We turned up and went to sleep.
You'd just gotten too used to the bandit
right.
stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we did. That was as near as we came to. They did come through the north pasture, but that was a couple of miles, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then on to Mac Allen's, and they cut the wire and went on. I see it was 18 miles from up. And all these big ranches, there's Sam Lane is 18 miles, Garrett was 18 miles. They were just like in a thing, in the east. And then the Mac Allen ranch, and San Juanita, and the Young Ranch was Santa Ana. Another side of
mm-hmm. Well, now, at this time, more or less, now, you met your husband when?
Then? Oh, heavens, I didn't meet him till, I guess it's almost, it wasn't quite a year, because after the New York Guard left, after war was declared, they all moved out. Most of them, they were moving out ever around Christmas, right after Christmas they started to move out. But there were still some down there. And then when war was declared with Germany, you know, I think it was the 17th of April, wasn't it, or the 7th or something. And anyway, then they were all gone. Then we went to this house party. My sister had come back from Whitish, you know, for the summer. And I told you about they wanted to go up there. And this Christine Clegg is the Clegg's house. They had this house party. And then we went down to Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the New Ages was the hotel.
Yeah.
Met him again. I mean, I saw him. I told you about that. And then that's when we made up on that little balcony. And so I didn't tell. I didn't tell my mother anything. They didn't. She didn't know. We didn't come home for about 10 days. I had to that. I believe for 2 weeks. And then I told them, and that was in. Well, we were married the 12th of October, Columbus Day. And it's the funniest thing, my brother Bill, they got married, he and Zora Eckhart, got married on the 4th of July. Now, there were three of us, you see, all this time, my mother said, man. And well, they didn't want us to marry, my family, my mother and daddy, they just wanted to keep us. And every time I'd have a beau, you know, and they'd think he was getting serious, but, Daddy, what's that man doing around here? All this kind of thing. And they didn't want us to marry. But anyway, Bill married the 4th of July, and I married the 12th of October, and my younger brother, Ed, married on the 6th of December of 1970.
All of you got married in 1917.
And of course, these other girls, Mary was about 16, I mean, Isabel was 5 years old.
The reason that these guard units, the New York Guard and the Houston Light Guard, were in the valley was the Mexican border trouble.
Now, let's see, what did they call that when they went across? It was in New Mexico. Let's see if it's in here.
When Pershing was chasing Villa?
Yes, when Pershing went in first, you know. And that was, is it Columbus, New Mexico? Well, let me see.
Well, that's when he was chasing Pancho Villa. Back into Mexico,
well, that was,
wasn't it?
That was it. That was the
beginning. I said, that's what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. Well, that was the first time they went into Mexico. Was then. And then they went to Veracruz, you know, and blew that up.
Well, would you tell me about the New York Light Guards and why these guard units were in the valley?
Yes, that's why they were in the valley. They were sent down there, all of them. And of course, what it really turned out to be, and what they probably had figured all the time, was to give them some practice before they ever had to go overseas, don't you see? See, they were just as green, you know. You know how they just, when they, the National Guard, you know, they just have a drill, I mean, the golem. But I mean exercises, well, really just about once a year, I think, a big one, you know, when they pull them all out. And so of course, the New Yorkers usually went to Plattsburgh, but then, of course, here were these Mexicans, you know, trying to cut up, and they sure scared the daylights out of them. But they did that Pancho Villa, you know, that's when he was done. You know, that's what that was.
Well, now, you were telling me the other day that you weren't nearly so concerned about the bandits as you were enjoying the guard units being down there.
No, I was a dead. Well, of course, we had all this protection, you see. And all two rangers, that was all we needed, you know. I mean, in the platoon. But, well, of course, you know that. I don't know, I guess you know that, but they say about two rangers are worth about 2 dozen other soldiers, you know. Oh, they used to say. Here's General. He was in command.
Yes.
And he was when they came out there to the house, you know, and they'd send us a whole regimental band to entertain us and everything, you know, at night. And, they just did it. They were perfectly marvelous to us, you know. And then they'd have these lovely dances and get all these favors and everything from New York. It was perfectly lovely.
Well, now,
and then we rode a lot out at the range.
Well, now, you showed me a swagger stick the other day.
Yes.
Would you tell me?
Again?
No, I want you to tell me about it.
Oh, well, this was the adjutant general, Louis Stotesbury, was adjutant general. Oh, well, they were always having these most distinguished people coming down there. Of course, the governor of New York, I can't remember his name, but we met him, and he was he and his wife were very lovely. And but General Stotesbury was the first man that started my collection, you know, because I didn't, to me, and of course, I was so thrilled and surprised. And yet, if he didn't walk up and hand me his swagger stick, and that was the first present I got like that. And then the different ones of the officers, see this, well, I carried it around and everything, and then they'd keep on, because General Ryan gave me a star, and General, McNair gave me one, see, he's my brother, Ed's father-in-law, because he's dead. And, Wynona, and I had Majors and just everybody, you know. And I had a whole lot more than this. I don't know what's happened to those others.
But they all gave you their different insignias.
Yes, different insignia.
You were quite a belle.
Yeah, I was. Of course, I'm real. Yes, I really had them all the time. And of course, Mary had them all for a good time, too, because she was really young, you know. And I had one of my cousins came down, and she married an officer from New York. God. Oh, and General McNair. General McNair, General O'Ryan, Miss Jessie. Now, I want you to marry one of my young men. I said, General O'Ryan, I'm not going to marry anybody but a Texan. I said, I surely do like you all and everything, but I said, I'm not going to marry any of you New Yorkers. But this Bill Chaffin was a great poem, and you talk about the old top drawers. There it is. And owned the Chaffin drugstore, and it's the one that all this stuff is Bill's now, because his father's dead. And I don't know whether Bill is or not, because I haven't heard anything from him in a long, long time. And, but he was one of my best beaus, and then a lot of them. Moved down to the valley. Now, I don't know if Bill and Daddy had been down there before, but the family moved down in September of 1913 to the ranch. But I did not go. I had visited in Belton and Waco before, and then I came down later. I think it was in November. Oh, it was before Thanksgiving, because I'm baptized an episode there. And anyway, I had this very good friend that my family knew, this Marge Beckwith. She was about my age, and she stayed over there a lot with me, with us, at the ranch. She lived in Edinburgh. And we, of course, had a big Thanksgiving dinner, and as usual. And here came these Vailas, V-E-L-A. Vela, these very wealthy Mexicans that had a big ranch. Well, in fact, our ranch had been part of his big ranch. He had had one of these, I guess he had 100,000 acres or something like that. But this ranch was, Monte Cristo was, Sterling Ranch was, had been part of it, which was sold for, they started to have farms out there and had started a land company. But of course, we had nothing to do with that. It was all, they found out it was not practical at all because the ground was too high and they couldn't get the water up there from the river. It was too expensive. And so these people just gradually left. And of course, we had nothing to do with that because Daddy hadn't bought into it then. And then, so we used it for a cattle ranch altogether. Of course, Bill has something, but then that's all right. After I came down there, before about the middle of November, and of course, the different people visited around, and I had this friend, this Margie Beckford, that was living in, she had come from Houston, but she, they lived in Edinburgh, and we used to go and stay with each other a lot, and of course the dances and everything, and as I said, all the girls were very popular, for one reason, there were so few of us, but anyway, we were, and we'd go to dances at Edinburgh, and mostly though at Mission, because that was just 7 miles, and then McAllen was, I believe it's 4 miles, 4 or 5 miles from Mission down the railroad. And so it was really always very pleasant from the beginning. And that was before the bandit trouble that I came down. But anyway, I hadn't been down there, I think, but a week or two before Thanksgiving. And of course, as usual, well, unless I was kind of tacky. But then, anyway, we did have a big, we were at a big dinner, just about ready to serve it. And these, well, you can say that, that wouldn't do any, but they were high-class Mexicans. Mm-hmm. They were very wealthy, and this Don, oh, wait a minute, Bill's got his name, and I can't think of his first name right this minute, I don't think. Thaler. And he brought his wife and his, and an old maid's sister and said, I'm to call on us. They, I don't know whether they knew whether it was Thanksgiving or not, but anyway, they came, and so we had this big dinner, and they stayed quite a while. It was very pleasant. Really, his name's in here, but I couldn't find it enough. Now, you've got that on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. We don't want to waste time. But then, anyway.
We can find it later.
Because we put his name in afterwards because I know it, but I can't think of it.
Yeah.
And so, and they, it was very pleasant. And they were there for Thanksgiving. And then, of course, we went to, as I said, this always. Different dances and everything. We were always going somewhere, and we rode horseback a lot. Mm-hmm. And I used to love to go. We had these. We had a lot of Mexican help, but then we did have some white boys there, young fellows that my brother Bill had known before. There were two or three of them, and we had two houses. You know, like most of those ranch places do. The main house, and then we had this other big house with a dining room and kitchen in it and a pantry, and my daddy's office, and then these bedrooms and a great big screen porch. Mm-hmm. And well, we had three or four quite young white men there. Mm-hmm. But this dining room had this huge fireplace in it, and we used to take the big trolling, and I had a big troll and many dance records, and we used to go there and dance, move the table, have a very long table. And I don't know how anything you want to say this, but we always thought it was funny. My sister Isabel then was about 6 years old, and she called it the Buck House because the young white men lived And let's see now, I got off the track somewhere. But anyway, that was before the bandit trouble, and then when all that started. I remember one night, during the first of it, all of the people that were left, there were some woods that lived up the street, out the road from us, and they stayed there a long time. And they were Texans, they were not from the north. And, of course, they had this post office up in Monte Cristo. The train ran out there. You've already got that, haven't you? About the, delivering the groceries.
Yeah.
And everything. You've got
mm-hmm.
that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we heard that the bandits really were coming down. And it's strange that they chose moonlight nights to make these raids. That seemed, to me, it seems strange. It looks like they try to go on dark nights,
mm-hmm.
you know. But anyway, that's what they were supposed to come through there. So these woods, and there were several other families, came down the ranch to spend the night, you know. And the men walked out, you know, they guarded things. That was before we had the platoon of the 28th Infantry that Captain Cohen
mm-hmm.
had sent, and these Signal Corps men. We had three Signal Corps men, and they put the antenna up on this bank, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the tank. And of course, for a long time it still had water in it, but you saw that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you? And but nothing happened, and they didn't come. They're scared, I guess. better than I had been. And that's it. So then after that, of course, these people are all moved away. The Woods did not, but most everybody else did. And went back. They were Norman people, and they went back to the North somewhere. Sad old lives of people, I'm sure. And but during this thing of trouble, because Captain McCoy was the in charge of the valley, and he was the ranking officer there. And of course, he when they got so bad and had so much trouble, why? Of course, they put more regular army people down there, you know. But then anyway, he was in command of this whole region. And so, of course, he was a very, oh, perfectly marvelous person. And he had been an aide to Teddy Roosevelt when he was in the Spanish-American War. He was on West Point. And he was a very great friend of ours. And so then when they'd have to go on these raids, when they did just really stop through there, you know. But they never, after that, came any nearer our place. They cut the fences up there at the McAllen fight, you know. And, of course, they attacked them and Mr. McAllen, of course, was born and raised and had this big ranch. Well, of course, there were three of them. They were, and my daddy had that about. Anyway, they phoned down there, and my brother Dill, and I don't know whether it was written or not, but they had been down below Mission. They had this trouble, too. They had to walk guard everything because they'd come over from Mexico and across the Rio Grande.
Was Bill a ranger then? Was Bill a ranger then?
No. He wasn't in the he wasn't in the Rangers then. Mm. And that was afterwards. And he was just one of the, well, all the men down there, you know, not too good. And of course, Avar Baker, he was the sheriff, and he was an absolutely fearless person, and he had been a ranger. And of course, they did send rangers to send Captain Ransom first, but he had been used to being around Houston and around, and he didn't know anything about Mexicans, so he knew that one negative. But anyway, they finally, Captain McCoy was in command of everything, and they'd go on these, every time they'd hear about them trying to raid, these Mexicans trying to raid, why they'd, of course, send a group out, you know,